Good evening. Tonight we're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 8 and read some things about wisdom there. Joe mentioned to me here just briefly, if I have find a good spot to stop, I could stop. I don't have to read the whole chapter. I read over briefly, and I don't know if there is a really good spot to stop here. Wisdom is something that is desired. As we read through the chapter, you'll see it's more precious than gold and silver. I appreciated Jeff's comments last night about the Holy Spirit and the inspired Word of God. And we see that even during creation, wisdom, the godly wisdom was there and put into creation. We see that still how things, the universe and everything operates so smoothly from the wisdom of God as He created that. Reading from Proverbs chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth on the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates and at the entries of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is unto the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an excellent understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness, and there is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain in him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared with it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before the works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no foundations abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he hath not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the foundations of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree and that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watches daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. All are able, let's kneel for prayer.
Good evening to each one again this evening. Greetings in Jesus' lovely name. We appreciate the youth that are gathered here tonight as well. I remember very well myself being a youth and attending the youth night services and being inspired and appreciating the friendship of other Christian young people. And so we're glad you're here tonight, and I trust God will have something for you. One of the passages in Scripture that I was especially fond of during my teenage years was the book of Proverbs. I recognized it as a helpful tool in making life's decisions. I remember reading Proverbs as a young person and gaining reassurance that those who are careful to do what is right will be rewarded. As a youth, I became more aware of the choices that people around me were making. And I suppose I was like most other youth in that I began to more seriously consider the payoff in life's choices and the results that those choices would bring. I also noticed the decisions that some other people were making. And it seemed to me that perhaps some of them were not very wise choices. You know, and as I watched other people's life and weighed those weighty decisions that we have as youth, I recognized that from my perspective, it seemed like there were some that were making choices that were not very wise. They weren't considering the long-term consequences of their decisions. And I recognized that as young people and as a youth, if I made what I thought was a wise decision, sometimes it would mean that I would have to stand alone. And as I drew encouragement from the book of Proverbs, one of the words that stuck out to me was the word discretion. It's a word you'll find often in the book of Proverbs. It speaks of one who carefully considers the consequences and the end result of their actions. Most of the book of Proverbs is attributed to the wise man Solomon. We all know how God gave Solomon great wisdom at his request. It was an honorable thing for him to ask for wisdom when he could have chosen anything else. It was a wise decision for him, a decision that brought long-term benefits when he chose wisdom rather than long life or great riches. These other things that he could have chosen had the potential to ensnare him. And we read in the Bible how Solomon made good use of the wisdom that God gave him, and he governed his kingdom by it. And he also gave rules of wisdom for others to follow. And that's what we have before us tonight. The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon. The Bible says that Solomon spoke over 3,000 proverbs. We find that recorded in 1 Kings chapter 4. God tells us that Solomon was a fountain of proverbs. Most of these are not included in the book of Proverbs, but I believe the Bible does include those proverbs that the people of God should understand and obey in every age. And so this evening, I would challenge you as young people to let the book of Proverbs guide your life. The book of Proverbs is associated with wisdom because the first 9 chapters deal with this subject. The book of Proverbs is different from most other books in the Bible. You will not find any other book that has this style of writing. The ancient Greeks were known for having men of wisdom who found great satisfaction in writing sayings that would bring them personal fame. These sayings were inscribed on the pillars of important buildings. And so it was every man's desire to pen words that would stand the test of time and then would eventually be inscribed on the pillar of some important building. And I believe tonight, as young people, as you seek to obey God's principles found in the book of Proverbs, your life will be a success and you will let a legacy. Your name may not be written on some pillar somewhere, but you will leave a legacy for generations to come. It's interesting to me that the life of Solomon demonstrates the entire spectrum of how people interact with wisdom. Some people love wisdom. Other people shun wisdom. Some people seek after it. Some people mock at it. And we find that in Solomon's case, that in spite of the fact that he was such a wise man, he did not always follow his own advice. In the latter part of his life, he rejected many of the things that he personally taught. In spite of his great wisdom, he became unwilling to heed his own advice, and it took a tremendous toll on how well he finished. And I guess as the older I get, you know, as we have these birthdays, one year after the next, we hopefully get a little wiser over time. And from my perspective, I am disappointed with older folks who make some poor decisions very late in life after having a tremendous success in living a godly life. There are some who do not finish very well. And so we never arrive. We never reach a time where we can coast and continue life through life without considering the outcome of our choices. Solomon's great riches and his ability as king to acquire his heart's every desire led him to marry many wives. Many of these women were from pagan nations round about Israel. And they led his heart away from God. And so from Solomon's own life, we can make the observation that wisdom is highly sought after. And yet, it is possible to let it slip from us if we do not carefully hold on to it. If we do not tightly hold on to it and carefully heed it, it can slip away from us. And so this evening, we want to focus on the subject of wisdom. We want to find out what wisdom is, where it comes from, and how we can acquire it. Solomon's quest for wisdom is representative of the fact that a desire for wisdom is a universal human desire. This is evident from throughout history. No matter what era of history we look at, we find people had a desire for wisdom. The Bible records how many ancient kings and rulers had a group of men who advised them. And these men were often called wise men who were consulted when the king had an important decision to make. They were to stay current with the latest information available and were called upon to give the most reliable advice to the king. Joseph and Daniel were two Bible characters who were each considered wise men in their day. They both had the opportunity to advise kings and rulers. But I believe it's interesting to note that even common people have a desire for wisdom. I believe all of us have a desire to know as much as we can about what is going on in the world and how to properly discern as we make decisions in our lives. And I believe the current crisis in our nation presently is one such quest. You know, all of the controversy that goes on with COVID-19, many times we don't know what's true and what's not. What is accurate information and what is not? It's very, very difficult to sort through the information and find the latest information that's truly accurate. Most of us know that all advice is not created equal. There's advice out there that's faulty and unreliable. Other advice proves itself to be reliable. And how do we know the difference? I believe the answer is to consider the source. Where are we getting our information? In this message, it's my purpose to help us differentiate between the knowledge that comes from man and the wisdom that comes from God. The book of Proverbs is a good place to learn this. The first 9 chapters of Proverbs deal with the subject of wisdom in various ways. And it portrays wisdom as a thing that everyone ought to pursue. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." The first 9 chapters speak a great deal of the good characteristics of wisdom. They also speak of the benefits and blessing that come to those that seek after wisdom and heed her advice. And I'd like to read just a short sample of what I mean by that. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." There are many other verses within these chapters that present wisdom in a positive way as to encourage us to become acquainted with this virtue. Before we go any further in the message, we want to establish what wisdom is. We need to be clear on what wisdom is if we are to pursue it and to make it part of our lives. And I believe the book of Proverbs itself gives us a very clear definition for wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I like to think of this as the key verse in Proverbs. The same statement is repeated again in chapter 9, verse 10, and amplified just a little bit. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." The first step in allowing wisdom to be part of our lives is to fear the Lord. I would say a word here about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Sometimes the Bible seems to interchange these terms, but I believe there is a difference. Knowledge is acquiring facts and information. Education has a role in this, but I believe wisdom brings in a whole new dimension to our lives. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge in a right way and in a way that pleases God. Again, wisdom has its beginning with God and a proper reverence for Him. The definition for wisdom that I learned in elementary school, and all of you can memorize this. Wisdom, very simply, is thinking God's way, seeing life from God's perspective. It means making God a part of every dimension of our lives. For example, when we read the newspaper, or however else it is that we get our news, how do we react to what we see and hear? What do we think when we hear of people behaving in an immoral way? How do we react when someone takes someone else's life? You know, as we read the news, these things seem to be sensationalized. But God calls it murder. What about covetousness and backbiters and covenant breakers? And those without natural affection, and those that are disobedient to parents. And this list that I'm reciting from comes from Romans chapter 1. And there's a longer list that I could mention. All of these things, according to God's law, are sin. And wisdom is thinking God's way, agreeing with God about what these things really are. So wisdom, I believe, involves every aspect of our lives. And as we live life, make decisions, as we react to things that happen in our world, wisdom requires us to see these things as God sees them. I'd also like us to notice tonight how the book of Proverbs describes wisdom. The proverb writer uses a very unique literary form called personification. And some of you may have a Bible that titles chapter 8 as wisdom personified. Personification is when an inanimate object is described as having human characteristics. This is a very powerful literary form that helps us engage in what the author is speaking about. And in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is presented as a woman. This method of description is a very powerful illustration of how a woman is able to influence and win the affection of a man. Wisdom is pictured as a well-dressed and honorable woman, an honest and prudent woman, a woman of integrity. She is portrayed as a woman who will bless everyone with whom she comes in contact. A number of places in these chapters, wisdom speaks in the first person. Listen to this example from chapter 8. I'll begin reading with verse 4. The proverb writer writes as if wisdom herself is speaking. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. And we could keep going. But one of the notable characteristics of wisdom is that she is honest about who she is and what she has to offer. She does not try to hide anything. Another method that the proverb writer uses to describe wisdom is to contrast this woman's wisdom to folly, who is also personified as a woman. Folly is pictured as a seductively dressed woman with the attire of an harlot. Her appearance and demeanor is meant to attract the sensual desires of men. She talks sweetly and persuasively and tries to convince them to enjoy her delicacies. But the Bible says that she flatters with her lips and cannot be trusted. Her goal is to destroy a man, regardless of what she may say. And so here's the picture. These two women are competing for the affection of every man and woman, and young women here tonight as well. Each in their own way, these two are revealing by their own manner of character what kind of person they are and what they have to offer. Here I believe the proverb writer illustrates how the character of a man is revealed by who he allows to win his affection. And so the point of the message tonight is, wisdom is uttering her voice in the streets, calling out to each one of us. But the question is anybody listening? Repeatedly in these chapters, these early chapters of Proverbs, wisdom is described as a woman crying in the streets. She's standing on every street corner and in every busy place. She is crying aloud for all to hear. I believe basically the proverb writer is saying, wisdom's voice can be heard in every situation of life. And she wants to counsel us if we're willing to listen. But wisdom is the type of woman that means exactly what she says. She's not trying to trick us or deceive us. She is an honorable woman and she always tells the truth. For an example of that, turn to chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Wisdom cries out words of warning to those who reject her advice. As she cries out, her desire is that everyone would turn in at her house and be instructed of her ways. You might ask the question tonight, well, can everyone hear the voice of wisdom? Is it possible to hear the voice of wisdom apart from the Spirit of God? And I believe the answer to this question is yes. All of us are able to hear the voice of wisdom for a couple reasons. First of all, in Romans chapter 1, the Bible says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God has given us expressions of his existence, even in creation and in our conscience. And so we have the ability to hear wisdom's voice through our own conscience and the reality of creation. We have the capacity to hear the voice of God, the voice of wisdom. And there are also some Bible scholars that believe that we could actually, anytime the word wisdom is used, we could actually replace that with the Holy Spirit. Wisdom is and does what the Holy Spirit does in the lives of believers. And so as believers, as Christian young people, we can hear the voice of God speaking to us. Unfortunately, sometimes we do not listen. We do not heed the advice that we are given. And at this point, I'd like to just break into a short illustration. I mean, there's many, many aspects of life that wisdom can benefit us with. But as I woke up this morning, early, there was an illustration came to my mind, and I thought I would share it tonight. I brought a couple things with me. Here's the first thing I brought. You don't need to answer this, but I just want you to think. What is this? Is this a tool? Or is this a toy? I think we would all agree that this is a tool. There's a right way to use this and a wrong way to use this. And this tool has some pretty neat characteristics. This particular one is adjustable. You can use it to loosen small nuts and larger ones as well. Some of us are even tempted to use this as a hammer sometimes. For light work, of course. If you use it as a heavy hammer, you'll end up breaking it or screwing up the threads, and then it won't adjust anymore. But I have used it on occasion to do light hammer work. But we can also use this wrongly. This tool can become a weapon if used improperly. So something for us to think about. I also brought something else along tonight. What is this? Is this a tool? Or is this a toy? You know, you can do some pretty neat things with these. Just an example of some of the things I can do with this. First of all, it's a phone. I remember talking to an older gentleman one time, and he had a flip phone, and he said, "This is a phone." He said, "I use this to call people." He was implying that some of these phones, you can do a whole host of other things with them. I can call people. I have a very large phone book in here, a lot of saved contacts. I can text people. I can take pictures, look at them later. I can get email on here. I can receive voicemail messages. I use this as an alarm clock, a calculator. Let's see what else here. I've got some notes here. I have a little folder here. I keep track of the milk price on here. I keep some maintenance records on here. And also a category called important numbers. Numbers that I want to keep track of. I don't want to lose. I want to keep them with me. I have them in that little folder. Some pretty neat things you can do with this when it's used as a tool. What happens when we use this as a toy? We can waste a lot of time, can't we? Doing things of very little benefit. And we can even destroy ourselves with this thing when used as a toy. We can destroy our marriages. There's a lot of information out there, a lot of images out there that we can access with one of these that can destroy our soul. And so as young people, wisdom affects us in a lot of avenues in life. This can be used as a tool or as a toy. I also might mention, I use this sometimes to pull up a gospel music song, a song that helps inspire me in life's journey, encourages my faith. But many times, I can't stop with just one song. I've got to pull up several. And before I know it, I can waste a lot of time. So it's just some things to keep in mind as young people, that we can use that as a toy, a tool, or a toy. It's up to us tonight. You know, as we think about wisdom, one of the things you'll notice is that wisdom does not force anyone to receive her gifts. But those who recognize the truth in her words will feel compelled to embrace her. You see, wisdom is based on truth. And you cannot gain wisdom apart from God, which is what many people are trying to do today. They want wisdom, all right. They want good information. They want advice that's reliable and trustworthy. But they don't want to get truth from the author of truth. They somehow want accurate information that allows them to do what they please. But the Bible says wisdom is justified of her children. That means we must not be fooled by everyone who claims to be a child of wisdom. Those who are genuine children of wisdom will display her character in their lives. Those who are counterfeit will find a way to justify their foolish behavior. People today want truth to be on their side, but they don't want to be instructed by it. You can't have it both ways. Those who want truth but want it to suit their liking have fallen for the deception of folly, who promises to give it whatever it is that they want. But we know the end result of folly. It is death and destruction. The nature of truth, on the other hand, is to be consistent to a specific set of attributes. And it always amazes me. You know, truth cannot lie. It will not lie. Sometimes we get information that we're not sure if it's accurate or not. But all we need to do is just wait and see how it turns out. Then we'll know what was the truth and what was not. Truth will not lie to us. And I've been known to say that truth will always prevail. It may take a little time, but truth will always prevail. The other thing I like to remember is that truth will always be truth, whether I represent it well or not. Even if I do a poor job of explaining something that's true, it will remain true whether I explain it well or not. So we can take comfort in the fact when we offer advice to other people that even if we don't get it said real well, if we're giving them advice from the scripture, we can be sure that it will serve them well if they heed godly advice. What is the source of wisdom? Proverbs teaches that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom comes from God. There are many things in this world to know and to learn. As young people, you are called upon to make some of the largest decisions in life when you're young. And in a way, it seems unfair that such important decisions are made at such a young age. What vocation you will choose in life is often made at a very young age. That's not to say you can't change later on in life, but preparations in your life are being made now for what you will do in the future. Who you will marry is another important decision that we make when we are typically very young and oftentimes not as mature as we ought to be. And so it's important that we make wise choices as we lead up to these major decisions in life. Wisdom takes pleasure in being the messenger between God and men. So if we seek wisdom, she will serve us well and give us truth that comes from God. James chapter 3, verse 17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." From that description, does it sound like wisdom is what we need today? Certainly. Wisdom uttereth her voice in the streets every day. Is anybody listening? Are you listening tonight, young people, for the voice of wisdom in your life? So how do we acquire wisdom? James chapter 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." If we lack wisdom, we are to ask God for it. How does he supply it? I believe God reveals himself through creation and through our own consciences and makes wisdom available to those who ask for it and to those who diligently seek after it. Another major source of wisdom that God makes available to us is his word. While I was studying for this message, I received the latest newsletter from the American Bible Society. And President Doug Birdsall made this statement about the Bible. Quote, "The Bible offers more answers than an encyclopedia and more wisdom than any financial plan. From how to resolve conflicts to how to build a strong marriage, from how to raise children to how to deal with debt, the Bible answers the most pressing issues of our day." Unquote. I believe the Bible today is truly our greatest source of wisdom from God. It's widely available and readily accessible. You can even get the Bible on your phone. Why not? Why not have it readily available? And yet, as accessible as wisdom is today, why does there seem to be such a shortage of wisdom? Is it because that there are not very many people listening for her voice? Additionally, God gives His Holy Spirit as a source of wisdom for believers. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come." Another verse that I like to use to encourage young people is, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And so tonight, the voice of wisdom is out there everywhere. In the crowded streets, in public places where people gather to do business, in our government, in our churches, in our families, and even in our own personal lives. Wisdom is crying out, but is anybody listening? God's truth is made for the marketplace. Because of the nature of truth, it will hold up under scrutiny. It will hold up when it is tested. One of the earliest written psalms, written by Moses, Psalm 90, verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Wisdom uttereth her voice in the streets, but is anybody listening? Three other verses that I think of when I think of youth, and I'd like to just share them in closing. "Let no man despise thy youth." Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. You know, many people are tempted to write young people off and say, well, they're young and inexperienced. What can they teach us? But there is nothing more inspiring than young people who choose to be an example of godly character. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 encourages us, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Psalm 119 verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, unto thy word." Tremendous encouragement tonight for all of us, regardless of our age, but especially to those of us who are young, to seek God's wisdom and to listen to her voice. Tonight we're going to sing a hymn of invitation and give you opportunity to respond to the Spirit's leading. Whatever your need might be tonight, we give you opportunity to allow God to work in your life. Maybe you'd like to make a commitment, an outward commitment of a deeper walk with the Lord. I believe that can be helpful from time to time, particularly as young people. Perhaps you feel like you are standing alone and you'd like accountability. You would like the saints who are older to come alongside you and help to hold you accountable. Whatever the Spirit would be speaking to you about tonight, if you feel the need to make a public commitment, we would invite you to do that tonight while we sing. What number shall we sing?
125.
Number 125 in the green hymnal. Number 125, we'll sing two verses as a hymn of invitation. Stand where you are until you're recognized or come forward as the Spirit would lead. Please sing.